Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What is Moondog?
Moondog Makers and Bakers is not just a catering company. It's blending tradition with innovation and something familiar just done differently. To get a taste of what they're truly all about, you can order some awesome merch, crafted spice blends, or request catering for your very own event. MoondogMakersandBakers.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody, and happy Selection Sunday. What a great day this is on the sports calendar. But we're here to talk about Ole Miss baseball and other things as well. Of course, whatever comes up in the live chat. But the lead today is an impressive series win for Ole Miss baseball over South Carolina. Really glad that you guys are here. Appreciate you being here. Please like the video and subscribe to the channel if you have not already. Also, if you're watching after the fact, please leave a comment. And if you're listening in podcast form, I appreciate you very much. If you are listening on the website at supertalk.fm, I would encourage you not to do that. Not that we don't love you visiting our website. However, download this podcast, subscribe to it wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report, leave a rating and a review if you like what you hear. Again, we're glad you're on the website, but it's much easier, more user-friendly to do so in your favorite podcast app. My name is Michael Borky. Follow me Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And so let's not waste any time. I got some stuff to do tonight, so we're going to just get right to it. Ole Miss baseball and an impressive series win. Now, I said it after both wins on Friday and Saturday. I think this is a South Carolina team that's going to win a good bit of games this season. I like this South Carolina team. I don't think they're, you know, the best in the SEC by any stretch. They may not even be a regional host, but I do think that you guys were able to see, even through Ole Miss's impressive Friday and Saturday performances, and then, of course, the game today, that competition level has absolutely increased for this team, and it did this weekend. And Ole Miss played their best baseball of the season against the best team that they have played so far this season. I saw a couple of South Carolina media types that were, doing the, you know, fire the coach thing after, they're off to a really good start. They've improved on the mound despite losing their pitching coach, it seems. Had a really good non-conference, and they lose 2 of 3 on the road at a team that's a year and a half removed from winning the national championship, and that's grounds to fire the coach. Some people just can only operate in that prism. Either fire the coach or coach is the best, and like there's no in between. Anyway, And they did that. That was their reaction. Very, very bizarre. South Carolina is good. And that's what makes this weekend, in my opinion, so impressive for Ole Miss. We'll go game by game in a second. But the big picture, I think that you got a clear glimpse of what this team is capable of. Is this who they are? I think we need a couple more weeks before we declare that this is what they are. But you know what their, I think you know what their floor is. As weird as that is to say, I think you know what their floor is. This was an impressive weekend for Ole Miss. They played good baseball. You know that they are capable of being competitive in the SEC. They are certainly capable of making the postseason. It's one weekend. It's a home weekend. We've got to see a little bit more. But there is absolutely no other take about this weekend other than it was impressive and Ole Miss was impressive in this series against South Carolina. You could see a really stark difference between, at least in my opinion, absent what Iowa threw at Ole Miss on Friday night, South Carolina is significantly better than that of Iowa. I think that was pretty obvious. And so competition level increased, and Ole Miss's play increased with the competition level. I thought Friday night's game was especially gritty, if that's the word that you want to use. I was impressed with the toughness that Ole Miss displayed in that game. So Gunnar Dennis, you know, played with fire a little bit, and he's got to be more efficient early in games if he is going to continue in that Friday night role. But I think he ended up putting out an impressive outing, especially having to overcome some early self-inflicted tribulations, if you will. He just was not efficient early, put too many guys on early in his outing. But look, went five complete, struck out seven, gave up three runs, which is not ideal, but only on five hits. I mean, I thought that he gave you what you needed him to give you, obviously, because Ole Miss ended up winning the game. But he battled through some early adversity that he created for himself. South Carolina punched Ole Miss, laid the first punch anyway in the second inning. They came back, scored one in the bottom of the second. South Carolina got them back in the fourth. Ole Miss responded again in the bottom of the fourth. There was a couple reviews that didn't go their way, I think one of which definitely should have, and it did not. So they overcame some adversity there. It was a tough game. I think that the approach at the plate for Ole Miss was really, really good. Eli Jones, if you listen to the radio show, we talked about him and his efficiency going into this game. Had only walked two batters. What was it, 17 strikeouts to two batters? And Ole Miss chases him after five, having walked four times. They only had five hits, but three earned runs. So Ole Miss took advantage of their opportunities, but only two strikeouts for Rebel bats on Friday night. So even though, look, a stat line of five hits in five innings is not really going to scream like amazing or anything like that, but on a Friday night, to chase a good starting pitcher in Eli Jones after just five complete, while only striking out twice and walking four times, they worked counts. They got him out of the game. And look, they scored three runs on him in five innings, and they were able to capitalize on South Carolina's bullpen, and they ended up winning the game. That was a toughness win for Ole Miss, I think. That was a toughness win. So really good. Really good there. On to Saturday, for different reasons, very similar story. Ole Miss gets on the board early. Liam Doyle, I thought, was really, really good. He's got Friday night stuff as well. That breaking pitch is excellent. And, you know, overcame giving up a pair of South Carolina home runs that led to South Carolina taking the lead there for a period of time. But he settled in. He was good. What, five and a third, just six hits, only those three runs, struck out 10, was pretty efficient. That 96 pitches in those five and a third, Liam Doyle was really, really good. And then, I mean, what else can you say about the day of Andrew Fisher, those three home runs and five RBIs? He was excellent. But, I mean, Ole Miss was what? They were up one. It was 4-3 going into the bottom of the eighth. And here, this is just a fun little exercise. Reading Ole Miss's bottom of the eighth. I mean, this is hilarious to me. So, Leje actually flew out to start the inning on a 3-2 count. Luke Hill walked, then he steals second, then Furness walks. They bring in Marco to run for him. Trayson Hughes singles in two runs. So that goes from 4-3 to 6-3. Then Hughes, for good measure, stole second. Randall walked, who, by the way, had a really nice day. I forgot to mention this. I didn't really go through all of the hitters and whatnot because you guys saw it. But Randall had a really nice Friday night, three hits on Friday night. So anyway, Randall walks. Burt singles to make it 7-3. Groff singles to make it 8-3. Fisher home runs to make it 11-3. Ross strikes out. Leje homers to make it 12-3. Luke Hill singled for good measure. Who, by the way, again forgot to mention, he was the clutch hero on Friday night. His double is what lifted Ole Miss to that 4-3 lead, and then Trayson Hughes in the seventh grounded into a double play, but a productive one on top of that. So Luke Hill seeing the baseball better. I mean, today had a couple of, three really loud outs. So he was the batting hero on Friday night, clearly seeing the baseball better. They need this version of him if they're going to win games, and he is coming along, as is Trayson Hughes as well. But and then Markle fouled out, fouled out to end that inning. So that eighth inning is just hilarious to read. Ole Miss blew it open, almost run-ruled South Carolina. But here they are again. Offensive approach was really, really good. SQ was good coming into this series as well for South Carolina. And they only struck out three times, and they had four runs and just four and a third against him. A really, just a really good 2 days for the Ole Miss bats. Not so much today, but really good 2 days for the Ole Miss bats. And then pitching came along with it. Like I said, Dennis battled some early adversity, but came out of it on the other side. The Ole Miss bullpen has been really, really good for the last few weeks, and it was, again, good this weekend. So Ole Miss's bullpen, 12 and a third innings this weekend, one run. Eight different guys, 12 and a third innings, one run, eight different guys for Ole Miss's bullpen. Mitch Morrell was really good. So was Connor Spencer. He came in, and there was an interesting spot because Bianco goes away from Mason Nichols and goes to Connor Spencer. And I know that I questioned it in a group message, just wondering why go to Spencer when you've got Nichols in. But sure enough, it worked. And then you got a really excellent play from Randall to get out of a tough situation there. Again, toughness was the theme on Friday night. But Saturday, Wes Mendez was good in his one inning. Josh Mallett was good. Mason Morris was good. Today, Ole Miss loses the game, but you still had really quality bullpen work from Austin Simmons, although he walked a guy. But between Simmons and Morrell and Kyler Carmack, you had five strikeouts and two hits and no runs. So Saunier didn't have his best stuff today. I know that Bianco wanted to take him out a little bit earlier, but you had that weird back injury in the bullpen to JT Quinn, but just didn't have his best stuff today. I don't think it's time to make a change there on Sunday. We'll find out from Bianco tomorrow if that's actually happening. I saw some people like calling for that. I don't think that's the case. He just left a couple of balls up today, and that was the issue. And South Carolina is a good team, and they punished him for it. But he went four and a third, only struck out two, didn't have swing and miss stuff today. He may not have really swing and miss stuff at all, but just one of those days where you're going to run into in the SEC sometimes where, you know, it just you get beat sometimes. South Carolina was able to shut Ole Miss's lineup down. Ole Miss had some opportunities. They had some hard hit balls. There was one that Luke Hill hit that would have been a home run on not a wind blowing in day, for example. So some hard hit balls, just right to people. Couple of nice plays from South Carolina mixed in there as well. And they just get beat on a Sunday, but by and large, a really good and really impressive series win for Ole Miss. I think that we learned a lot about this team this weekend, and the expectations should be postseason. At least I think they should, and they showed you that they are certainly capable of that. Really impressed with the approach at the plate, especially the first 2 days this weekend, and the bullpen was excellent. We'll get to your comments now right after I tell you. The podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. If you're a Mississippi business and you need it, just tell them I sent you. Get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. For all of your Mississippi office technology needs. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority with 16 locations here in Mississippi. There's likely one in your backyard. They've got an online banking platform that's a one-stop shop. So all you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever you need to do with your money. You don't need multiple apps like I used to with my previous bank to do whatever you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. All right, let's get to your comments now. I appreciate you guys being here on Selection Sunday. Glad that you're here. Let's get to it. Baseball is currently ahead of schedule when it comes to having 4 to 5 wins through the first 3 weeks. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, Tennessee is going to be difficult. It absolutely is going to be difficult. But I do think that they certainly did not look overly impressive this weekend either. And so when you pair the way Ole Miss played this weekend, Sorry. Sorry. God. With the way Ole Miss played this weekend and the way Tennessee looked for periods of time this weekend, that series looks totally different than it did just a few weeks ago. I know it's in Knoxville, and that is going to be extremely tough, but not as daunting as I initially thought. Oh, there's a lot to talk about tonight. Oh, there's no doubt. There's absolutely no doubt. Lady Rebs are a 7 seed playing 10 seed Marquette in South Bend. Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I don't follow the women's game as much as the men's game because it's just not as, for what we do, not as in demand. But aren't they a lot better than a 7 seed? Doesn't that seem really low considering, you know, what they've accomplished this year? Better than going all the way out to freaking Washington, I guess. But anyway, starting with baseball, they did what you think they had to do. 2 of 3 is very good against South Carolina. You think SC was desperate to keep from being swept today and Ole Miss didn't bring as much juice. And, you know, this is just going to happen sometimes in the third game of a series. You know, Saunier just didn't have his best stuff today. I think he's better than that. There's no reason to panic over him, but just, you know, left some balls up and would have come out earlier if not for that injury. So that kind of ended the game right there, to be honest with you. But yes, 2 of 3 is very good against South Carolina. It is a good South Carolina team. I'm impressed. There's nothing else that I can add really, other than that I was quite impressed. Very few caveats with this weekend, as opposed to you guys are probably annoyed with me at this point with the volume of caveats I put on every weekend with Ole Miss baseball, but I'm not doing that for this one. They were impressive. I think South Carolina's good. I mean, that their only series they lost up to this point was to Clemson, and the two losses were each by one run, and Clemson was ranked number 10 at the time. It's a good team. It is a really good team. The green hats are the reason why they didn't sweep. Yeah, the green hats didn't work with the powder blue, did they? They did not work with the powder blue. So the bullpen is legit. Yes, they are. And a lot of options, too, in the bullpen. That's the thing. It's not just one or two guys that are really good at closing the door. It's a lot of guys, man. It's in each one over the weekend was effective. Truly, I mean, even today, like Kyler Carmack is a guy that hadn't pitched a whole lot for them this year. And when he did in Hawaii, he was brutal. And then he comes out today. And I mean, I know he walked a couple of guys, but one hit in 2 1/3 inning. I mean, you've got options all over this bullpen. I am curious to know, I'm curious to know what the injury is and hope he's okay. But JT Quinn was going to come out of the bullpen. And clearly Bianco thinks that there's ability there to do that. I was curious to see how that was going to go, and hopefully the back thing is not long term. Sometimes you just throw out your back, you know, so hopefully that's okay. Starting pitching was solid up until Saunier struggled. Yeah, and you know, if you'd asked me who would have struggled the most this weekend, I wouldn't have picked him. I don't think the lack of swing and miss is a bit of a concern, I guess, but just made some mistake pitches today. And again, this South Carolina team's good, man. And if you're going to make mistakes against them, they're going to beat you. But Doyle was excellent. Looked like some lefties of the past for Ole Miss today. And he's got that attitude too. I like his attitude. He's got that swagger that's not manufactured like LaCroix for South Carolina. That is a very difficult person to watch play the game of baseball. And apparently you had to be there in person to really capture all of that. Very, very odd. If I were a coach, I wouldn't put up with all that, but that's just me. Dennis overcame some early stuff. He's got to be more efficient early, but overcame it. And Doyle was excellent too. If they're 3-3 by the end of the Tennessee series, it's a good start in your book. Absolutely. If they get through these two, at 3-3, coming back to host Kentucky, absolutely. You should feel really good about the start. You know, you got to go to Fayetteville. That's brutal. Mississippi State taking two from LSU changes the way you look at that series as well. But, I mean, the schedule just doesn't look as daunting as it did a while ago. I mean, Alabama's good, but that's at home. Auburn's like it. I feel like what we learned this weekend is that the schedule may not be as daunting as we initially thought it was going to be. So, but yes, I do agree. I mean, look, the goal, honestly, the goal is to get to 14 and back in the tournament. Anything above that is just is cake, right? So, maybe that's underselling what a goal should be for an Ole Miss team, but I think that's what it should be. Just get back in the postseason. Find your way back in the postseason, get sent to Virginia, or not Virginia, they're better than that. Get sent to like UC Santa Barbara or something as a two seed and play against a bunch of teams that don't have your talent level and see what happens. That should be the goal for this year, especially having to replace as much as they did from last year's team and the national championship team. And they looked like they were certainly on their way to do just that. One weekend in, but the league might have some parity across. Alabama took down Tennessee, and honestly, Mississippi State could have swept LSU, should have swept LSU. They at least should have tied yesterday, and there was some controversy where ball came out of glove and player put ball back in glove on a tag out, and they didn't catch it. How about the reviews this weekend, by the way? So Ole Miss gets an overturn that clearly, at least in my opinion, should not have been overturned. And then they had call stands that went against them that at least one of them should have been overturned. It's like, if we're going to do this replay stuff, if we're going to spend so much time, 5-10 minutes replaying these things, and it's pretty black and white, and you're still going to get it wrong, what's the point? Don't waste anybody's time. Just don't have it at all. Lots of positive things to talk about for both Ole Miss and State, but anything specifically jump out over the weekend that gives you concerns moving forward? It's a good question. For Ole Miss, Dennis not being efficient enough and giving free passes early in games, and then Saunier having kind of a lack of swing and miss stuff. But frankly, I was impressed with the bats for the most part. You know, still not perfect with runners in scoring position, but that's where I'm concerned is you're going to run into weekends like Arkansas, for example, where they've got just a rotation of really quality pitchers. And if you're not going to be efficient and they are, because while I like Ole Miss's lineup and like what they did this weekend, you're going to run into great arms that are going to shut you down. And you got to be able to match that energy. And I'm wondering / concern if they're going to be able to do that on a weekly basis. We'll just have to see. For State, it's pitching, especially without Dom. Look, they won a series, but they hit the ball really, really well. Gave up too many runs, and I'm just wondering what it's going to look like without Nate Dom. That's a tough loss, and we'll see if he's able to come back. He did so last year. So imagine what this pitching staff would look like if they weren't missing two weekend starters. No kidding. Friday and Saturday are both games they let get away last season. Exactly. The mental toughness that they displayed on Friday and Saturday was impressive. You know, they got popped in the mouth twice in both games, and they overcame it, you know, and stayed in the fight. And last year's team doesn't do that. They fold a year ago. And so while we yet don't know what this team's ceiling is, hell, we don't even really know what they're going to be yet. It's just one weekend, but there is absolutely no doubt, especially now, that they are much improved from last year's team. There's no doubt, absolutely no doubt in my mind. And basically every area, they're improved. How improved? We'll see, but they have absolutely improved. My degree was in journalism with an emphasis in broadcast and a minor in English. That was my degree. It was mostly back then television work, which, you know, in hindsight, I guess helped me some, but I didn't want to get into TV. I don't like TV journalism anyway. I mean, it's stories 2 minutes at a time, and I don't think there's any depth to it at all. And the lifestyle is tough, not one that I would have enjoyed. There's actually somebody that I met going through school that was doing TV sports, and they really kind of just turned me off of it all. I mean, it's just, you know, it's weird hours. You're working nights. You're having to move a lot. You don't get paid a lot initially anyway, when you're in tiny markets and bouncing around and stuff. So it's hard work, little pay, tough to move up. It's just not something that I wanted to do. I'm too opinionated for that. But I did do, yeah, broadcast journalism, and I did minor in English. 3-3 is a good start. Kentucky in 2 weeks will be big as they crush Georgia in a sweep to start conference play. Absolutely. And all the students will be back, too. I wonder how much that helps. Good weekend for both the Rebels and the Pels. Boom, we needed those two wins, didn't we? I mean, beating the Clippers, just Atlanta could do us a huge favor tonight. But I loved that Phoenix also lost today. That helped us a ton. But, yeah, it would be great if the Clippers would lose again tonight. But, yes, we needed those two wins badly, badly, badly. Thoughts on State versus State? I like State in this one. No, but seriously, Michigan State getting in, especially in this spot, is insane, right? And then the committee chair is asked about it after the bracket reveal, and his answer was complete bullshit. Forgive my language. Sorry. But it was. It was just a complete garbage answer. He couldn't say because it's Tom Izzo. So he had to talk about quad one wins where they really don't have many. What is it, 2-7 in quad one games? So, I mean, it's just them making it was a total joke. It's an unfortunate matchup, though, for State having to draw North Carolina in the second game if they're able to get there, because they don't match up. Not many people match up well with North Carolina. But, look, they're playing really good basketball right now. I certainly like their chances to beat Michigan State. Unfortunately, it's North Carolina next. They would have almost been better served to be a 10 seed to just avoid North Carolina, but. Trayson Hughes had a solid weekend, even today in the loss. Hits a triple to break the shutout. Yes, he is. He's really climbing out of that early season kind of struggle. He and Luke Hill both. You knew they were more talented than they were displaying early. And they're coming out of it for sure. Definitely seeing the baseball better. Fisher is hitting at a ridiculous level right now. So much power in his swing. And I love the mustache, the dirt bag. Yeah, he's full field power. Just really impressive weekend. He was dominant yesterday. And it's hard for a non-pitcher to be dominant in baseball games, but that's what he was. Mallett's getting out of the jam Saturday was monumental. Yeah, and great play from Randall there. Oh, wait, no, that was Friday. Forgive me. But, yes, getting out of the jam Saturday, I'm getting the games mixed up. Was huge. And then offense just tore it wide open. You're going to go ahead and call the Ole Miss women making the Sweet 16. They continue to be undervalued every tournament. Yeah, is Notre Dame good? I know that they care about and they support women's basketball up there, but yeah. You might be ready to be victimized by Ole Miss baseball again. Oh, man. It's that cycle, right? Yeah, no, but I think that buying back into this team would be the right decision. They showed me enough this weekend to start believing that they're going to meet those expectations. You know, it's an Ole Miss show, but thoughts on State versus LSU. Also want to hear my opinion. Did LSU catcher drop the ball yesterday when he tagged Larry? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He dropped the ball and put it back in his glove. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. That game should have been tied. It should have been tied. But, Hunter, I wasn't thoroughly impressed with State. I mean, even yesterday, I know they lost, but coming back the way they did after a pretty brutal start was impressive. The issue with this team, all non-conference, has been the bats. The bats have just been not good enough, and you knew that there was some talent there, especially at the top of the lineup. And Hunter Hines was hitting the ball and hitting it hard again this weekend. He's started to put it over the fence like everybody thought he would. Jordan is just special, but they really hit the ball. And I know LSU's got struggles on the mound, but they're not as bad as State made them look. It's a really impressive weekend. I'm still wondering what it's going to be like without Dom, but he could come back this weekend, I suppose. So, no, you can't be anything other than impressed with State either. They took it to LSU. And Haydad was writing them off this week, and I kind of was too. To be fair. And they just pull you right back in. Despite his struggles, JT Quinn being injured would be another brutal blow to the Ole Miss pitching staff. He can be a solid arm when his stuff is right. Absolutely. And I was really looking forward to seeing him in kind of like a max effort for one or two innings kind of role to see what that stuff would translate to. Doyle impressed a lot. That's a key transfer they picked up in the offseason. Yeah, he locates that breaking pitch really well too. Really well. Ump in the Ole Miss South Carolina series was downright awful. Heard it was bad in State LSU as well. Yeah. Yeah, and I try my hardest to not be critical, but I really just don't understand why. I guess they're being held to TrackMan. Like they're using TrackMan now, like in the dugouts and stuff to hold umpires accountable, which is great. But why don't we use that technology to help them get things correct? I don't know. Lamona said today that Dom is throwing and that Pico Cone is available to pitch this week after having Tommy John last year. Wow. Wow. That's good about Dom because it looked awful when it happened. I mean, your first thought, Hunter, I know your first thought was he's out, done. I mean, just there's – but if he can go, that's really good. Virginia getting in the field sucks. Indiana State not getting in sucks. Winner of Mississippi State and Michigan State gets to keep the script, and they get to be called MSU. That's the rule. That's the rule. Since Kentucky's been playing pretty decent baseball, does that mean Kentucky men's basketball getting knocked out in the first round? We can only hope. We can only hope that happens that way. You could go on and on about seeding. Give Iowa State a one. UNC and Kentucky are too high. I guess winning the SEC means nothing seeding-wise for Auburn, and I'd have Florida at a 6-2. Yeah, I mean, I know that the SEC tournament annually doesn't matter. I got well-actuallyed on Twitter about that. But when you're seeding teams for a tournament format, and I know the NCAA tournament's not really the same as the SEC tournament, but Auburn impressed so much playing back-to-back-to-back games. You know, they won a tournament. Shouldn't that be taken into account when you're seeding a tournament, how they perform in a similar format? I don't know. Whatever. I get it. The SEC tournament's basically useless in basketball and baseball. I mean, it really is, and it's been like that, but I mean, I guess it saved Mississippi State to a degree, but I'm not convinced they would have been left out with a loss at this point. I mean, the seeding was done. They admitted as much on a live stream a few days ago. I guess it was 2 days ago, Friday or Saturday morning. They admitted that it was done, that there was only one open spot left with a ton of basketball to be played. So they said out loud what we've known for a while. Yes, that injury from Florida today, that was a Kevin Ware injury. I saw a screenshot that I'm very mad that somebody posted it on the internet. Hopefully it got removed because, oof. Can we talk about how awesome it was for NC State to go on that run? 101 odds to win that tournament. And think about the names of the teams that they beat. Louisville, Syracuse, Duke, Virginia, and North Carolina. It was incredible, wasn't it? I mean, we got their run. How about, what was it, Temple, who's implicated in a point-shaving scandal at the moment, making their conference tournament championship with a losing record? You had Long Beach State make the tournament after firing their coach, but he decided to stick around and coach the rest of the year, and he makes the tournament. And, I mean, I guess he's still fired, right? That's the deal. Andy Kennedy, UAB, making the tournament. That's pretty cool. I like him a lot. He did a lot of really good things for Ole Miss. It's so weird sometimes. People think that when you speak positively of Andy Kennedy and his time at Ole Miss, that you, for some reason, don't believe that they should have moved on and it was the right decision to part ways with him. It's a weird deal. He was great for Ole Miss. They had consistent basketball teams. If the net were a thing during his tenure, he would have made the tournament a couple more times, and it was time to go. I don't understand why, if you praise Andy Kennedy's time at Ole Miss, you immediately get hit with, well, he wasn't that good, actually. He was great for Ole Miss at the time. He would have made the tournament under these metrics more often. He had consistent teams. He was entertaining and an engaging guy, and it was time for him to go. And his second act is really impressive. And I'm, you know, he deserves the success. I look back at my time in college fondly, going to Ole Miss basketball games and Andy Kennedy's teams, and he had a lot of fun players, and it was a fun era, a frustrating era at times too, but it was little supported internally the way that you compare it to what the resources they're pouring into it now. It's totally different. I don't know. He's a very polarizing figure, and I can't figure out why. It should just be, hey, happy for him. You know, he did Ole Miss right, and now he's doing UAB right. You think by the end of the year, Smithwick ends up taking over a catcher. He's too talented to not put it together. Yeah, I would assume he's going to – I mean, maybe he catches the Southern Miss game on Tuesday, for example. Bianco's going to keep playing him, but he hasn't been as good as Birch. And, I mean, if Birch is going to hit the ball, then the issue is they're getting stolen on a lot. What have they only successfully thrown out two base dealers, I think is the number. But he'll still get some PT for sure. Yeah, Ole Miss did blow out the ACC champion and held them to 52 points. That happened. You liked UAB getting in the dance? Any discourse about AK versus Beard is fool's talk. It was time for a split. Besides, he said himself, you are what your record says you are, or something like that. Only made the tournament a few times in a worse SEC. It was fun, but it wasn't a big-time deal either. Yeah, and, you know, all of this can be true at once. He should have made more. The net would have allowed him to make more. The SEC was weaker then than it is now. He was not supported institutionally then as Ole Miss basketball is now. He is a very good coach. Chris Beard is a better coach. He did good things at Ole Miss, and it was time to move on. All of those things can be true all at the exact same time. Every single one of them. Actually, let me show you something. So, when they beat Missouri, and Missouri was number 10 at the time, in the Tad Pad, Marshall Henderson, at the end of the game, threw the basketball up in the air, and it bounced into the student section, and I caught it. This is that ball. I've been meaning to get in touch with somebody over at the Next Round, or some that has ties to UAB, to get Andy Kennedy to sign this ball, because that was a fun night, man. That Frank Haith on the Missouri sidelines, Marshall Henderson, Missouri was number 10. And that ball bounced around the student section. I picked it up, and we bolted out of there. And Marshall took to Twitter and was like, they're essentially fining me for throwing the ball up in the stand. Somebody give me the ball back. And I was like, hell no, I'm keeping this. So yeah, this is that ball. I'm actually very proud of this thing. I'm going to get it signed one day. I swear I am. So anyway, I'm pretty proud of that piece of memorabilia. But yeah, we caught the ball. And me and my buddy John looked at me and goes, run! And we just took off. we are not giving that ball back for anything. I love the Tad Pad. Yeah, it was a wild environment at times. It was an absolute just dump. It was just a horrible place for basketball. But at the same time, I love it. I've got fond memories of that place. Anyway, so. Good weekend. Really good weekend. Ole Miss baseball was impressive in their series win over South Carolina. Now they got a tough test. I mean, Southern Miss is good, guys. Let me see if they swept this weekend. I know they won their opening series, including two teams that had no hitters each going into the eighth. They swept. So they swept Marshall this weekend. Marshall's certainly not a bad team either. So interesting matchup coming up on Tuesday night. Interesting matchup. Southern swept. Yes, they did. Yeah, they're good. And they'll be tough and obviously pretty jacked up to play Ole Miss. Understandably so. And we'll be live, by the way, after the game. So whenever that game ends, we'll go live regardless of result. So we won't start at 7:45 or 8. We'll start when the game ends, whenever it ends. So be on the lookout for that. But that's a tough midweek game for sure. And then they got to go to Knoxville. So very difficult week upcoming for Ole Miss baseball. But fans should be confident about the way their team looked this weekend. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. As you guys know, don't forget to like the video. And I'll see you on Tuesday after, what is it, the C Spire? Oh, gosh. I know C Spire is sponsoring it. But anyway. I'll talk to you after the Southern Miss game. Whenever it ends, the second it ends, we will be live together. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.